Okay, you guys, here we go. This is a little bit different than it was going to be about a week ago this time. I completely reworked my plans for this message earlier this week. I had planned something totally different, but I got caught up short when reading a bedtime story for my daughters one night. We received this lovely pictorial storybook Bible a while back from a loved one, and we've been working our way through it, and as you can imagine, it's much simplified. This version, it does a lovely job of illustrating and simplifying many of the stories and parables of the New and Old Testaments. It tells stories that you're very familiar with, stories of Moses, stories of Daniel, Ruth and Naomi, one of my favorites, David and Goliath, which is especially meaningful to a lot of our little children in the congregation. But it was the story of Mary and Martha that caught me up. Look at these gorgeous photographs, or pictures. If anybody wants to look at these afterwards, you can. It gave this story of Mary and Martha, you heard Rosemary read it a second ago, it gave me pause. It stuck with me enough that I felt compelled to take a more reflective look and share some of my thoughts with you. It is the story of two sisters, and I think that very basic fact was one that caught my attention. I have two daughters. Hoxie is 6, Cordelia is 4. I myself am from a family of girls. In fact, I am the middle of 3 girls, and here in a second, you have a special treat. Oh, here, let's go into the next slide, Kathy. Blessing you with this treat. This is me and my sisters. I am on the right, and then my older sister Marie is in the middle, and then Emily is on the left. But I want you to know that I suffer from textbook middle child afflictions. I am always concerned about things not being fair, and I am suspicious that I am getting the short end of the stick, even though I have been blessed immeasurably. When I stand back and look, I recognize that. But I am always thinking that I'm getting left out. Growing up, I often felt like I was left out of the loop. I used to say, middle kids always get dumped on. But if you ask my sisters, of course, they would probably have a different perspective. My older sister, Marie, was always, even as a child, a very hard worker, a domestic genius, a truly good girl. She cleaned and organized without being told. She baked and cooked from an early age. She tended to her two younger sisters like a little mother hen. We even jokingly called her Mariarella, because she was always working hard like Cinderella to help out around the house and around our farm in general. We joke about our family history. My mom always asked, okay, which one of you wants to help clear off the table and who wants to go and practice the piano? I practiced the piano every time. Marie helped put away the leftovers every time. And just as you would expect, I got better and better at the piano, and Marie became a wonderful household manager. I was always goofing around with artsy-fartsy things that really didn't matter. I learned to crochet at the age of 7 from our grandma Phyllis. And Marie always dialed into practical, useful skills. Phyllis taught Marie how to bake pies and cinnamon bread. When I read the story of Mary and Martha with my daughters, there are many aspects of that story that ring familiar to me. And I can tell you Mary, rhymes with Carrie, was sitting in the living room, just hanging out with Jesus and his friends. Martha, our biblical version of Marie in this case, my sister, was rushing around cooking and cleaning and taking care of her hosting duties to make sure that their guests were fed and comfortable. And if it had been Marie and me in this story, I will guarantee you that is exactly the way we would have done it. Those are the exact choices that we would have made. And to this day, Marie can host a really good party. But the tables get turned in this biblical story at the end when we hear from Jesus himself. It is Martha who exhibits the middle child behavior. She says, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? I can tell you that's a sentiment that I hear in my own household from my daughters all the time. It drives me crazy. I shouldn't have to do all the tidying up. Cordy isn't helping. And I have to admit, I completely sympathize with Martha here. I agree. It's not fair. She shouldn't have to do all the work. But Jesus, perhaps unlike most parents would in this scenario, tells her that Mary is actually in the right. He tells Martha that she should be sitting and relaxing and listening to him and his story, to him and his friends. He actually says, there is really only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her. And I am not proud that I feel like questioning our dear Holy Savior, but his response kind of makes my blood boil. What kind of children would I be raising if I never pressed them to do their chores, to tidy up their messes, to tend to the requirements of life? My husband, Eric, is a great one for coming up with big ideas and then just trusting that they'll all work out. And exasperatingly, they almost always do. His phrase is, every time, you see, these things have a way of working themselves out. And I always point out to him, it's not magic. These things always work out because the people in his life, like me, like his family, like his mom, his coworkers, are running around behind him, tending to the details and making his ideas happen. I almost wish more of his plans didn't work out so that it would teach him a lesson. If we don't tend to the practical responsibilities of life, we will soon be living in filth with nary a square meal or a paid bill, and all will be anarchy. But Jesus didn't think that way. He encouraged Martha to sit with him and listen to his teachings. To slow down. He wanted her to take her time, to trust the details to take care of themselves. We see this concept throughout Scripture. I want to read to you from Luke 12. Jesus tells his disciples, "Don't worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food to eat or clothes to wear, for life consists of far more than food and clothing. Look at the ravens. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because God feeds them. And you are far more valuable to him than any birds. Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? Don't worry about food, what to eat and drink. Don't worry about whether God will provide it for you. These things dominate the thoughts of most people, but your Father already knows your needs. He will give you all you need from day to day if you make the kingdom of God your primary concern." That, again, is Luke 12. Now, I am hesitant to encourage my husband and his crazy schemes, but the scripture that I just read, it really sounds an awful lot like Jesus saying, these things always have a way of working themselves out. In our fast-paced world of go, 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 it's easy to understand why some people are feeling so much anxiety, so much worry. We may have many advances in technology, many modern conveniences, but we have no fewer stresses than the people of our country did 100 years ago. I will be the first to admit that the stressors in my life are absolutely first-world problems. I have enough to eat, I have a bed to sleep in, I have a warm and secure home. But I still often feel worried. I still often feel unsure or anxious. Are we going to make it to soccer practice on time? Did I miss registration for swim lessons? Can we afford to live the lives we're leading? What if it all falls apart? But it's reassuring to remember Mary and Martha and the ravens and the lilies. God will take care of us. It will all be okay, no matter what happens. The details may not turn out the way we planned it, but it'll be okay. Now, it reminds me of a song that we used to sing growing up. I'm from Ohio, and I attended a little country church, a Methodist church in Ohio. And this hymn is no longer in, or I don't know, maybe it never was, but it's not in our United Church hymnal, and nor is it in More Voices. Is it More Voices? That's the supplement. But I always come back to it, and I'm betting it'll be familiar to it, because I know that the United Church of Canada has a lot of its roots in the Methodist Church. So I wanted to sing this for you now, and I wanted you to listen to the words, because I sing this song in times that I'm really worried, and I'm really floundering, and I'm not sure. This is a song called God Will Take Care of You. Oops, hold on a second. Let me make sure that...
Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. All that you need, He will provide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day, over all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. All that you need, He will provide. God will take care of you. Nothing you need will be denied. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. Through every day, over all the way, He will take care of you. God will take care of you. No matter what may be the test, God will take care of you. Lean weary one upon His breast, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Now, whenever I catch myself worrying or fretting, I remind myself that God will take care of you. I think of one of my favorite scriptures. It's from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. So settle down, all you Marthas. Don't worry so much about the details. These things always have a way of taking care of themselves. Amen. Would you please rise?